Thanks to our sponsor, this episode of Crazy Fitness Got a Healthy Living podcast was created using Podcastle. Podcastle is truly the easiest way to start your podcast. You can record remote interviews in studio quality sound. Editing is a breeze with a super intuitive and user-friendly audio editor. You can take advantage of their powerful AI tools like Magic Dust to optimize audio levels and remove background noise with just a single click. And I also use Podcastle to automatically transcribe my episodes, which not only lets me share the final transcript with all of you, my listeners, on different channels, but it even allows me to use their text editor to clean up any of the episode content I don't like. And I'll correspondingly edit the audio accordingly. Podcastle is amazing, all-in-one platform to create your podcast or any audio and video content. Give it a try at podcastle.ai. That is podcastle.ai. Did you know Crazy Fitness Guy is not backed by any corporate company and is just a one-person show? Well, there's this term around the podcasting community called indie podcasters. I'm an independent podcast creator. So because I'm not backed by a huge big corporate company, well, if I run out of money and everything else, Crazy Fitness Guy would no longer exist. No website, no podcast, no nothing. If you want to help support the show and keep our lights on, consider becoming a premium podcast member of Crazy Fitness Guy's premium podcast. You get behind-the-scenes access, early access to shows, private Discord server, and premium Discord roles, and exclusive behind-the-scenes access. Plans start at $3.99 a month or $30 a year.
Get ready to unleash your inner awesomeness with the Crazy Fitness Guy Show. Hosted by Jimmy Clare, renowned professional keynote speaker, podcaster, and autism advocate, this show is all about embracing what makes us unique. Join Jimmy as he shares inspiring stories, experiences, and expertise to motivate and educate. Make sure you follow our show so you never miss a brand new episode. Now let's dive into the show.
To this interview before I go on any rants, and well, you know how rants goes. I can't promise anything, but anyway, with Michael, I'm just gonna go right into the conversation before I go on any rants and tyrants. But during the interview, might happen. Hi, Michael.
What's up, Jimmy? How are you, man?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
So before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, how you got started, and why you got started?
Sure. So I've been in the health and fitness personal training world since 2008, so 16 years now. First 10 years of my career, I managed a club in upstate New York, just working with general population, worked with a team of 12 people where we focused specifically on functional movement, athletic rehab, and athletic training. Really found my love for kind of health and physical strength in the hardstyle kettlebell world with the RKC and Strong First, a lot of the stuff that Pavel Tatsulin, Brett Jones was putting out. And then the last 3 years, after a bunch of changes, which I'm sure we'll go into some, I've had my own business, which is more virtual and online coaching, focusing on the physical and mental performance side of strength for people. So my focus is really helping people who have been in that kind of intermediate or advanced beginner stage where they've seen some success in changing habits in their life, but now they're at a point where they're either stuck, kind of the things that worked at the beginning don't work as well anymore, and they're trying to get to that next level afterwards. And I believe that's where the connection of really your mindset, the story that you're telling, your belief system that you have around yourself really starts to play in. And so connecting that with your physical practices, as well as other good habits of health, nutrition, sleep, all that stuff, connecting those together to really get more of a holistic approach of health and fitness into your life. That's who I focus on working with now. So that's been really the last 3 years of my time and my career. It's an absolute blast. And I really love every day getting to do what I do.
Well, I have to piggyback off of a few things that you said, because I really love health and wellness as well. Especially, it helps me wake up in the morning when I feel, even though that sometimes I was like, what am I going to do this morning? And luckily, when I don't have a clue what to do, sometimes my platform that I use called FitArm, sometimes it gives me recommendations like, here, do this. And it's like, okay, I don't know what else to do, so let's go do this. And then I also like, I'm also passionate about fitness. I'm very passionate about fitness because just hearing some people talking about taking medications and whatnot, it's like, oh, I hate medications. I was like, I really use medications as like the last resort. Like if I'm studying for a test or I had to take a big test in college, and it's like, if I'm sick, I would take the medication. But it's like, I hate medication. I really, really do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, fitness is, you know, for lack of a better term, it's a foundational practice, you know, so that word is thrown out a lot in a lot of different ways of building a foundation. What does it actually mean? It means something that you can build other things on top of, right? So, you know, fitness, having a good routine, eating, you know, healthy nutrition programs, mindset practices, stress management, like these are all staple things that we've known since the beginning of time, right? And unfortunately, now we're in a culture in many ways where it's very easy to supplement it with a quick fix pill, you know, something that augments where we are at the moment and artificially puts us into a better state for the moment, but it doesn't actually solve any problem. You know, we're focusing on the symptom rather than the cause. So fitness really is a, you know, and really any type of physical endeavor and strength, if you work on that and you develop that, all other things are going to, you know, flow downstream from that. By happenstance, you're going to have a better mindset. You're going to have a better outlook on life. You're going to have a better belief in many ways. So I've talked to a lot of people that, you know, if you aren't into a physical practice or a structured exercise type program, just starting with that is going to solve quite a few things. Maybe it's not the end all of what you want to do or, you know, solve everything. I mean, we're never going to solve all of our problems, right? It's just part of life. But it is a first foundational step of, you know, of getting down. And once you get that down, all the other small details and the minority of things that are going to get you to that next level, they start to become more prevalent. But you got to start with, you know, get into the body first, and then a lot of other things are going to fall in place.
I agree with a lot of that because I know for myself, I learned over the years of working out and everything, is that if you lose weight fast, you gain it back quickly. Mm-hmm. If you lose weight over time, little bits here and there, you tend to keep it off. Mm-hmm. Currently, I've been working on losing some weight because I gained a lot in one of my semesters in college because it was very, very stressful for me. Mm-hmm. Math and me do not go together whatsoever.
Yeah.
And so basically, I gained 12 pounds. I admit that. And the reason I gained that weight was that even though I was going to karate 3 times a week, the other 3 days a week was cut short by a lot of studying. But I would like, I'll fit in 10 minutes here, 5 minutes there. And it wasn't necessarily that the minutes were bad, but I was eating more than I was burning. And so far I've lost 9 pounds. This was from May to August. So,
yeah, you know, it's a step-by-step process. You know, the timeline of like getting to goals is always a good question, right? Because, you know, obviously it's the same with strength. If you try and maximize strength really quickly, you're not really building quality muscle. Like, you know, you need to put those steps in. So not only do you get to the goal that you want, but then it sticks and you know how to maintain it afterwards. And this is just, this is a struggle that we see just in our culture with health and fitness. You know, only, you know, as adults, 95% of people fail to succeed long-term in their health and fitness. You know, even though there's, you know, 750,000 personal trainers out there, there's 120,000, you know, box gyms, there's more online programs and information available, but the number of people who actually succeed long-term hasn't changed. It's still that minuscule, you know, one out of every 20. Is going to get there. So the 95%, most of people are succeeding for a bit and then falling back to old habits and succeeding. It's this yo-yo cycle back and forth of implementing things when they're really motivated or have a lot of willpower at the moment, but then it's always falling back into old habits. So finding the process and finding the ways to not just get to your goal, because once you get to the goal, that's a great day. But the sun's going to come up the next day. Time keeps still moving on. You got more life to live afterwards. What are you going to do after that? How are you going to sustain it? And most people fall off 1 to 3 years afterwards, whether it's weight, you know, weight loss, they gain the weight back after a period of time. Most people are very good, you know, they're very good at getting to that, you know, original goal that they have. But sustaining it afterwards, that's where the majority of people fall off. So it's finding those foundational practices, setting goals in the right way of actually connecting them with the other areas of your life that I work a lot with people on, of just taking that extra step and peeling the layers back of exactly who do you want to be when you achieve this goal? Not just what you want to do, but who does this make you become? Because that's the purpose of a goal. It's not just getting the goal, it's who you want to become in the process of getting it.
I definitely 100% agree with that. I think sometimes the reason why people tend to go back into the old ways is because most people, and I'm not saying everyone, but most people use it, basically think as a diet short term. And it's like, oh, you know, once I lose the weight, I can eat anything I want. That doesn't work. If I ate everything I wanted, I wouldn't fit on the screen.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you put it into like a context of, let's say, education or going into school or business, right? If you just go through grades K through 12 and you get your high school degree, and then you just put all this work in, you're like, oh, good, I made it. I graduated high school. And then you just stop learning anything. Then you're just, now you're just plateaued. You're just stuck at that spot. We know that's not what we want to do in our life to support ourselves, support our family. You have to keep learning. When you get into a new job, you go in and you learn new skills. And if you want to keep progressing and keep going to the next level, you keep learning. You keep working on the next steps afterwards. So I've used this analogy a lot before, is where a lot of people go into exercise or weight loss programs is they do something, they do it for a short period of time, and then it worked very well for that time. And then either they do what you said, they just revert back to old habits, revert back to old stories, and they gain it back. What do a lot of people do then? When they're ready and they want to go back into this journey again, they say, oh, well, I'm just going to go back to what I did before. Well, you're a different person now. You're like, the thing that you did before is not going to work the same way as where you are right now. It's the same as if you go into high school and you do really well in ninth grade, your freshman year, you crush it. You get a 4.0 and you're just doing awesome, right? Well, then if you go to the next level, you go to 10th grade and you start to fail a little bit, or it's a little bit more challenging. Well, what are you going to do? I'm just going to go back to what I learned again in ninth grade because I did really well then. It's like, no, you're not that person anymore. Like you need to go to the next level. You need to learn the next steps. And I think what people are doing is they're doing over and over again the same thing. They keep going back to that grade that they did very well at before they saw some success, not knowing that they've surpassed that. Where they are at the moment in their life is not the same as where they were before. You need to always figure out exactly where you are at the moment and figure out what you need now so you can progress going forward. And when you get to that next goal, all right, what's the next step that you need to take? Sometimes it's keeping those foundational practices going in, but then adding little bits and just learning new things and just mastering more skills afterwards.
I definitely 100% agree with that as well, because I was during a meeting with someone yesterday, I was talking to somebody was to kind of, they shared something similar about business as well. And I was like, they were talking about if you have multiple Zapier accounts and it's becoming a big cluster and it just, one thing breaks after another and another and another. And it's like, can you find a tool that basically does a lot of different things for you without having to rely on so many accounts? It's like, if you had like maybe two or three or four, that's one thing. But, and then when she said that, it's not, in my mind, I was going to how many accounts I have, and I had like 14 accounts. It's like, yeah, and I see what she's saying. It's like, how can I start slimming this down, because it's causing me just a nightmare every single day. Like last few weeks, I just been monitoring like this error after error every single time it posts something. And like, I don't know what any of this means. I can't reach out to customer support. I'm not paying for their customer support. And it's like, I can't figure this crap out. It's like, so I invested in this tool to see if I can simplify a few things with it. It can still connect to Zapier when I need certain things, but it's like, how could I possibly do this without making myself go crazy?
And conserve energy, you know, because all that extra energy of like trying to figure this out and then going to customer service, it's the same thing that we look at with our personal development and personal growth. Like if you're trying to do a million things or always hopping from one thing to another, well, that's all energy. It's like, so the more you can conserve energy, and this is where I talk about like the process of recovery and discovery. You know, I think we're very good at discovering new things that we can do to add into our life. It's a new program, it's a new diet, it's a new book that we just read. Like we're good at consuming more stuff to add in, but we don't take the same amount of energy of looking at what do I need to remove from my life? Like where is the energy leaks that's going on? What are the things that aren't serving me anymore? Because everything that we do, regardless of what it is, takes energy. You know, if you have two cars and you have to go and you have to run an errand and you can't decide which car you need to take. Oh, should I take the blue one or should I take the black one? It's like, well, I have this, well, I can't find my keys and stuff. All those little, you know, finite little decisions, they're all taking energy from you. So the more you can break it down into, okay, what are the things that are the high yielding tasks? What are the things that give me the most bang for my buck? And that's where, you know, quality exercise program, quality sleep, like all the things that we know of. But if you keep working on getting those foundational things down and put all your energy into those, you're ultimately going to win. You know, then you can put, I mean, then little details, little tweaks of stuff and things like that, they'll come into play along the line. But that foundational piece of getting those things down just simply and consistently, I think most of us, we try and jumpstart it. We try and turbocharge that time to get through. We try and think we need to do it for a month or 2 months. I've told people, do a couple of things for a year. Go like a straight year of just consistently walking every day if you want to lose weight. Get your steps from 5,000 to 7,000 or 7,000 to 9,000. Do that for a year and get that down. Then start talking about adding more stuff afterwards. But until you get that down and you go through different seasons of life where it is really challenging, you mentioned the time in college when it was really busy and you had, you know, big tests going on. That's a season of life. That's not a time when maybe you can add a lot more stuff into, you know, your life. You know, you got to figure out what are the big rocks that I need to focus on. It's the same when you go out and you get a job and now all of a sudden you're working for, you know, putting in a lot of energy in, or you just started a family or you got married and you have new obligations, or it's a holiday season and you got a lot of other obligations with your family that you need to go into. It's all these different seasons of life that pop in. It's not about being consistent at the time when you're most motivated and nothing else is taking, you know, you away from it and you can't get distracted. It's about how do you keep implementing these simple things regardless of what's happening in life. And that's going to take time because it takes, you know, seasons to go through. It takes times when you're feeling really good. It takes times when you feel like absolute shit. Like it's all those different things. If you can get through those marks, that's building a strong foundation. And that's when habits really stick. So it's not like, it's like that old cliche, don't practice it until you get it right. Practice it until you can't get it wrong.
I love that so much, especially but for me, working out over the years, honestly, I've only started tweaking stuff probably the last 2, 3, 4 years when I noticed, when I found out that I had slight arthritis in my right knee. I'm not sure about my left knee because, well, the x-ray didn't have an x-ray on. It was only the right knee. Thanks, insurance. I took out lunges just because that's puts too much pressure on my knee. Mm-hmm. And then I took out like side lunges or any kind of lunges and split squats. And I replaced them with something else. Not the same, probably not the same movement, and definitely not the same movement, but I might do an extra set of bicep curls, or I just do an extra set of squats. But I just know I made these tweaks over the time. I've been working out since 2011, and I haven't stopped. The only time when I've ever stopped is when I'm sick, mm-hmm. and because I'm not one of those people who believe in this sweating it out, working out, whether you're at home. I tried that. And instead of me, and this like was on the edge of me feeling better. I was like, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to go work out and see if I can sweat it out later. Well, after that day, I ended up to still being sick for 2 more weeks. Mm-hmm. So I was like, great idea. And I made a mental note to myself, a permanent mental note to myself, never do this again.
Yeah, it's a powerful reframe. Yeah. You know, it's that debate of, you know, my friend Alex Salkin brought this up when he was on my show, and we talked about the difference between what's optimal and what's practical, right? It's like mm-hmm. optimal is an endless pursuit. You know, we're always looking for the best way to do something. Do this, not that. Like, what is the best way to approach weight loss or getting stronger? And the trouble with that is that you can always find something else that seems like it's the best way to do it. You see somebody and they're an advocate for this and you're like, oh, this is the best way. So then you program hop and you go do something else. Where what you just said is like, okay, lunges don't work well with, you know, the shit that I've got going on in my knees. All right, I'm going to adjust it. I'm going to tweak it. It's taking it from what's optimal to what's practical. And if you make those adjustments and always finding like, what's the most practical thing that I can do? Yeah, maybe someone says that the optimal way of working out is 5 days a week. Okay, it's just an arbitrary thing that somebody said. Maybe practical based on my life, based on my you know, availability, what I have going on. Maybe it's 3 times a week, right? Now you think it's like like anything below that is like subpar. No, if you focus on 3 days a week, the practical actually becomes the optimal because it's something that you can actually do. So I think it's very easy, specifically in the fitness world, to get so confused and believe that things are so complicated of what you need to do in order to achieve the goals that you want. It's really not that complicated. You know, it's like, you know, you need to do quality work. You need to do a push, pull, hinge, squat, load of carry. I mean, you could break down, you know, different programs over and over again. But from the work that I've done over, you know, 16 years, plus I've talked to so many different people on my show, I've connected with some of the best and the best in teaching and certifications. It all boils down into the same thing. You know, it's that simplicity and consistency and done over a long period of time. You know, it's the same thing as really anything of high value in our life, you know. Like strong relationships, you know, strong career, strong family bonds, strong health, all these things that are really give you the most value and fulfillment in your life are the things that take more time, and it just takes consistent effort over and over again. There's no shortcut. There's no pill that's going to just bring you down that line. And all of a sudden you're going to, you know, be rich in 20 days. You're not going to be fit in 20 days. You know, it's all this different stuff. So
Oh, you bummed me out. I thought I was going to be rich in 20 days. Oh,
sorry, brother. Yeah, it's like it's, you know, tough, you know. Once in a while, there's like three people in the world that have done it, and then they write a book on how to get rich in 20 days, you know. But it's for the majority of stuff, like, it's just not. And I think it's a foolish pursuit to think that you can jump the line, you know, and just go, like, because still, even if you get there and you don't have these foundational practices down, it's going to be just a big fall down the hill afterwards, you know?
Well, yeah, it kind of goes back to what I admit I've been one of those people who've been trying to copy, not copy, but like a better word, but like, oh, this person implemented this, this person implemented that, let me try to implement this. And I've done that before. And back to like one thing I wanted to go back on is like my the tool that I invested in. I was looking for something that I can put all my documents literally in one place, because right now I have some stuff in OneDrive, and then I have other stuff in Google Drive, and I had other stuff in. I was like, I'm getting tired of putting stuff all the way over here, all the way over here, all the way. And I was like, and I know Notion exists, and I don't hate Notion, but the file size is like 5 megabytes, and it's like, you know, something's just gonna be like very big at some point, and it just not going to work, and it's not going to upload. And I've always been on the lookout pretty much on my one of my favorite sites, AppSumo. And it's like, if I could find something that I can store unlimited files up to like 5 gigabytes, because it's either going to be video or podcast or both. And I was like, I would go buy it. And the funny thing is, because I've been so patient over the months, today it just happened, the tool just popped out of nowhere. And it's like, this is a sign. It says, you've been patient. Here's this new updated tool you've been waiting for. It doesn't have, it's like the only limit is 5 gigabytes and everything else is unlimited. And it's like, okay, it's pretty much handed me on a silver platter, and it's like, I had to go take it. I mean, I bought it. I mean, I didn't steal it, but just want to clarify, because somebody was like, oh, did you steal it? It's like, yeah. You can't steal a digital product.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's, you know, it's fine to look at other people and be like, oh, that seems interesting, I'm going to implement that and try that and stuff. But, you know, as you said, like with working out, you've been working out since 2011. It's like you built a foundational practice of knowing you're going to do something, you're going to take action on it. I think once you get that down, that's fine. Tweak it, add some things, figure out more, you know, some stronger ways to do things. That's fine. But if you're at the beginning steps and you haven't built that consistency in yet, just focus on that first. Just build some things in and just get those things out and do it for a period of time. And if you do that, then you're going to succeed. You know, the degree of where you are at the spot, that's going to be subjective to everybody. But you're going to succeed, and you're going to, even bigger than that, you're going to build a habit that now you've sustained and now you've built within your life. And then it's not so hard to implement anymore because you've been doing it for so long.
I definitely agree with that, because, and I think when we first got on, you asked me how I was doing, and my brain just been literally all over the place today, just from dealing with so many different customer support, and I'm not even going to go down that road at the moment. But I was like, I really feel like once I put this tool into place, it's going to replace some of these other headaches that I've just been having. It's like, where am I going to store these videos? I don't like to know. Because like, I've taken some videos from concerts and whatnot, I mean, used for my phone and whatnot. It's like, I have a digital picture frame that has unlimited storage and videos, but it's like, but it's, you know, sometimes I don't want to just open up that app. It's like, I want a backup for videos. I don't want to put it on YouTube because, you know, Google, and they probably make money off my, my stuff. My point being is like, I think one of the things I absolutely I would say hate running from my own business. It's just all the admin work of keeping track of where this is, where this is, where this is. It's like, huh, no wonder why sometimes I have nightmares of technology trying to chase me down and eating me or something. I don't know if you maybe have that kind of dreams because, or maybe you just have like a, or maybe you have this kind of dreams where you're afraid that a pair of dumbbells is going to land on your leg.
Yeah, not so much anymore. It's, you know, I mean, like anything, you know, taking a business and running it, you know, I run my own business too. It's like, there's always things that, you know, you don't love doing as part of the process, but you just do it because you know that it's important. You know, there's always ways to figure it out, maybe like make it a little bit more, you know, efficient of doing. But I think that relates to everything, Jimmy, that you do. It's like, you're not going to love every part of the process of growing where you want to grow, you know? And it's like, I think that's where I always go back to, who do I want to become? You know, who's the person that I'm trying to be? You know, I think this is a really important part of goal setting, you know, and I talked about this with, you know, quite a few people, and I work with it with my clients, is, you know, it's very easy to say, well, what's your goal? Oh, I want to do this. Okay. And then immediately, usually we just go into action and we start doing it. But if you just go a few, you know, go just a layer or two deeper on that and just be like, how is life going to be different by accomplishing this goal? Who do I want to become in order to achieve this? Okay. I want to drop 30 pounds, or I want to make $1 million, or I want to, you know, have a top 10 podcast, whatever it is. Okay. Well, if I achieve this goal, like, who am I trying to become by getting this? And it's interesting getting the answers to this, because one, usually that answer is not right at the tip of your head. You know, it's like, it's, you know, you have to dig a little bit to be like, okay, what is it? And then it starts to get into, well, I want to be more confident. Okay, why don't you feel confident right now? You know, and then it starts getting into actually the emotional sides of where really it comes down to is, I don't like where I am at this moment and I want to change. You know, it's like we make change from two things, either to get pleasure or to avoid pain, right? Pain is usually a much stronger lever to, you know, force motivation out there. And if we don't talk about that, or if we don't align with that, or even just understand where that's coming from, then it's very easy to look at the things that we're doing as something outside of like who, what we really value, right? If you are trying to get consistent with your exercise and your nutrition and your training program and actually become a more healthy, physically fit person, well, if you tie that into how that makes you a better person with your family, or how it makes you a better person when you connect with your friends or your business, the things that you really value and where you want to spend your time on, if you connect it with that, then the days when you don't feel great, or maybe you had a bad night's sleep and stuff like that, like all those things that are going to pop up naturally throughout life, if you know in you, well, I go and I train and I exercise because that's the person that I want to become, to be a better father, to be a better boss, to be a better employee, to be a better friend, be a better lover, whatever it is, right? If you connected with that, now you're actually making the training and the habits that you're trying to implement more valuable, because they connect and make you better at the things that you already do value. And if you miss that point, it's very easy to just let those things fall by the wayside, because it's very hard to implement a new habit, especially if it's something that's consistent. I've told people this of like, you know, even doing anything on a daily basis, if you add anything in for a daily basis, 5 minutes a day, logically, it's like, yeah, it's just 5 minutes a day, right? But if it's something that you're trying to do every day, that's a big change. That's a big habit. You just had a percentage of your life that you now are just adopting to implement a new habit. That's going to take a lot of effort. And if you don't tie that effort into really the ultimate person of who you want to become, it's way too easy to let obstacles and you know, just scheduling obligations and whatever it is, just derail you from that track.
Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to try what you suggested real quick as an example. So, by purchasing that tool that I did today, and by purchasing that tool will help me minimize the stress of finding stuff, because between my personal OneDrive account, my school OneDrive account, the school one is temporary because I'm in college and it's not, I don't have to pay for it, but I'm paying for college, but I'm paying technically for that exact service. And then I have 5 Gmail accounts with 5 Google Drives. And so just trying to find stuff, it stresses me out because, you know, sometimes errors hiccup, something might go missing or something ended up, I don't know where. And it's like one time I was trying to find one of my speeches to give some, to show someone an example of, I couldn't find it. And it's like, where did I save this? I have no idea. And by having this tool, it would help me manage everything more in a persistent location. And Notion was going to be like that for me, but I couldn't afford to pay for a subscription, so I bought a lifetime tool instead of paying a subscription for Notion. Not that I hate Notion or anything. I have no beef with them. I was like, I like them, but I also have, but it's like, but for my own sanity, I'm just basically, my brain is just all over the place. I can never, ever just, and plus, by cutting down on finding where the stuff is, I can focus on just pretty much on the other aspects of my business. And just instead of, like, you know, one example of the tool I'm going to share is that I can actually set up automations. So like once an interview is done, I can move that person to another list and it'll automatically tag it for me without having to do it manually. This is bull crap. And it's like, I mean, it's helpful for me to know who was just recently on my show and whatnot, but doing everything manually is like, holy crap, this is really time consuming.
Yeah. So time consuming and then stress, those are the two things that I'm trying to implement and bring in. Yeah. So like the next question that I would like ask and like you go even deeper in is like, okay, like how is life different if I cut my stress down to 50% from where it is now? You know, what would that do? Where would I implement that? How would that make me become a better person in all the other ventures that I'm doing? So the more you ask those questions and you bring it out, then the more you kind of, you get even clearer on the vision of, this is what I'm trying to do. This is what I'm trying to become. These are the things that I value. I value my time. I value my energy. Okay, this is affecting my energy because I'm stressed out because I've all have all these different things in different spots. Okay, how is this going to solve this problem? Okay, I'm going to feel like this. So now you're tying it into, oh, this is how I want to feel. That's going to make you get this done a lot faster and make it more efficient. And then if you find something even better down the line and keep working on it, then you're going to know and you'll work on that because you know what you value.
Well, to answer those last few questions, just to continue, not trying to drag it all out, just I'm using it as an example for a teaching method.
Love it.
So basically by being stress-free, maybe not stress-free, but 50% less stress. I've noticed when I wasn't stressed, I had better ideas, better topics for my speaking engagements, more ideas on how I can incorporate stuff in my TED Talk I'm working on. And it would also make me feel at ease of where those files are instead of having to say, oh, I'm logged into this OneDrive account. I have to log out to go back into this OneDrive account because, you know, I can't just, this can't just be a magic button that just says switch accounts. You know, that would just be too freaking nice. And sometimes even when those buttons that do exist, I still have to log in again and put in my 2-step authentication code because, you know, why make it such an easy, straightforward thing? Because technology can't just be easy and straightforward. Ask my college. I have to literally re-log in every 14 days and re-authenticate too. And it's like, oh, come on, Google at least gives me 30.
Yeah.
Please do not speak anything about productivity college. Because I'll be in the audience and can say BS.
Yeah.
So my next few questions for you is, why do you think people have a hard time of reaching their goals, maintaining their goals, and why do they always keep falling back on everything that they do and because of the plateaus?
Great question. So, you know, there could be a plethora of reasons behind. I think, you know, in a first principles answer, it comes down to the story that we tell ourselves. So I think that really comes into the mindset piece of it. So, you know, I'll give you some stats which are really interesting, right? So there's a recent study that came out that 80% of our thoughts are negative and 95% of them are repetitive. Okay. So based on just the amount of thoughts that we have on a day-by-day basis, okay, we'll break this down. So if you work out for 5 days a week for a year, that's great, right? That's 260 workouts. If you eat 3 healthy meals a day for a year, that's just under 1,100 healthy meals. Okay. That's great too. If you have 80% of your thoughts negative for a year, that's 1.8 million negative thoughts that you have a year. So by sheer numbers alone, what do you think is going to make the most impact?
The negative thoughts?
It's what you're saying between your ears. Yeah, you can't out-work out. You can't out, you know, healthy eat a poor mindset, right? So I think at the beginning steps, if you're at the beginning of a journey, yeah, just adding some physical practice and working through the body, that's going to give you some success. But where most people fail and they hit that plateau and then they fall back, it's because they haven't changed the story of who they said they are within themselves. So it's kind of like if somebody's a smoker, right? And they say, oh, like they're trying to quit smoking. Oh, it's great. I haven't smoked for 20 days or I haven't smoked for 30 days, right? Well, yeah, that's great. It's a good starting point. But if you're counting the days, why are you counting the days? You're just counting the days until you do start smoking again. Because subconsciously, you might be still saying that I am a smoker. Right now, I'm just not smoking. When it really changes over is when you finally, you know, check in with yourself and you change your identity and say, I'm not a smoker. I don't smoke. So with health and fitness, when it gets to that point where you say, oh, like I worked out 3 days a week this week, that's awesome. Oh, I worked out 5 days a week, that's awesome. You're doing the things, but you're subconsciously also still not saying, I'm somebody who works out 3 days a week or 5 days a week. You're not identifying with that. And that's where the story that we say within our ears is always going to win just because of the sheer volume of thoughts that we have over all the other things that we can do. So I've seen people that are in like a weight loss journey, right? And they want to lose 50 pounds, let's say, and they've lost 15 pounds and they're doing really well and they're on a good track, right? And you say, hey, great job. Like you dropped 15 pounds. That's awesome. How do you feel? And their response often is, well, I still got a long way to go. It's like, yeah, like they won't actually acknowledge that they're on the path of success. They're almost waiting for the other shoe to drop because they're still identifying with that person who's 50 pounds overweight. So I think by the questions, and we talked about this at the beginning of the podcast, is actually talking about how is life going to be different when I do achieve this goal? Because I think a lot of the things, if you don't actually connect with those thoughts and you say, okay, this is the person that I want to become, this is who I identify with, then it's just too hard. There's just too much time for you to just fall back into old habits, self-soothing habits. That's when we go into different addictions. You know, it could be, you know, food, it could be drugs, it could be pornography, whatever it is. Like all people, we fall back into those old habits of those self-soothing until you get into the mindset side of it. So there's two practices that I always say, and I start with people on, is number one is starting the day with an intention. Create a mantra, like a short statement about who you want to become in that day. And then just say it, just start it right off the bat in the day. And then at the end of the day, you bookend it and you count your victories. What went well throughout the day? just write out everything that you did, everything that went well through in the day. It doesn't have to be just the things that you did, but how did you feel in different ways? You know, maybe like you were just in a really good mood, or maybe you just felt very calm for the day and you just want to, you know, bring that in. Write those down. Why this is so powerful, Jimmy, is because if 80% of our thoughts are negative, you can actually rewire your brain. Okay. There is a thing as neuroplasticity. You can change it. If you on a day-by-day basis actually take a moment and focus on what are the positives that you have throughout the day, in a pretty short period of time, you start to recognize the positive things throughout the day because you know you're going to check them off at the end of it. And then you start seeing the good things that are going on. Okay. So these are just the tips, but the main, you know, point of what you said with your question is there comes to a point where you have to go into the mindset and you have to look at the story that you're telling yourself. If you're still identifying with the person that you were, or like the person that you've been versus the person that you want to become by achieving these goals, then it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when it's going to start to backslide. And then so many people fall into this just realm of kind of mediocre, like they're doing okay, like we're doing good enough, you know, it's like, but it's really not ultimately fulfilling. And I think that's a really challenging place to be. And I was there for a pretty long period of my adult life of being in that like zone of kind of doing okay, like everything was fine, but it wasn't great. And it's like, it's very easy to fall into just that, like that middle of the line pack. And that's a tough place to be. And it's very, very challenging to get out of that mindset. It starts with just changing that identity.
You know, I knew there was a reason why I had you on my show, because I really, I'm glad you said that, because I've been falling into a mindset lately, and I admit this openly, that I fall into a mindset where I used to be addicted to video games, played them every single day. Now I've only played them on the weekend. I got over that addiction. Then I fall into a very annoying bad habit, and I'm not going to share with you what the habit is, but I have been really kind of digging mentally deeply. But then when you said that, I was like, I kind of took a minute and I kind of realized I've been still falling back to the same old, same old. I get to a certain day, keep going backwards, do the same thing, keep going backwards. Had a 192-day streak, went backwards. Never been up to 192 ever since. And I really think you have, I wouldn't say solved it, but I think you might have hit the nail on the head.
It's a strong reframe, man, you know, and you're not alone. You know, everybody's been there in one way or another. I've been there. Everybody I've talked to and worked with has been there in some sort of fashion, right? It's very easy to self-soothe in a lot of different ways with, and everybody has their different spots that they go into. And most of these things are always readily available. So it's that choice to make on an everyday basis. You know, it's like, I always like the, you know, Ed Milet, the, you know, famous business entrepreneur, has a book, The Power of One More. And I love this story that he talks about with his dad, because his dad is an alcoholic, very bad alcoholic growing up, and found his way and got out of it. And now he was sober. And before he died, he was talking about a story of being with him and, you know, just a nice family gathering together of like a celebration of some, just, you know, enjoying each other's company, and kind of asked his dad, he's like, do you think you'll ever drink it? Like, do you think you'll ever drink again? Like, are you done with it? And he's like, his dad's like, I don't know. I have no idea if I'm going to drink again, but I know I'm going to go one day more. And it's like, and it's just, I love that reframe of it, because we view time as such this weird thing, right? It's like, we think that the past is real and the future is real. It's not. Like, literally only thing about time is right now. In this moment, right now, me and you talking, this is the only time that actually exists, right? So it's like if you focus on that frame of just, what can I do in this moment? What can I do in this day at the most, right? all you have to do is just focus on that one day. And I think of that all the time of like, if I'm not feeling great or I'm feeling just kind of unmotivated to do the things that I need to do, I'm just like, okay, like tomorrow, like whatever, I can slack off tomorrow. I can do all that tomorrow, but not today. I'm going to go one day more and I'm going to get what I need to done. And if you keep that reframe in there, it's amazing what you can do when you just focus on what you can do in the here and now.
I definitely 100% agree. I'm going to share a quick story real quick before we, there was a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago, I fell into this annoying funk. I kind of felt like I didn't have any friends. I kind of felt like just blah. I didn't really have a feeling. It was just middle of the road. I was kind of at my crossroads. I'm gonna have to give an example of that. One of my favorite shows, Avatar: The Last Airbender. One of the episodes was Crossroads of Destiny, and I was pretty much looking at the fork in the road, and it's like, which path am I gonna go? The one that will just close Crazy Fitness Guy, or the one that keeps going and jumping up hurdles? I basically just, pretty much I was in a limbo, and I just kind of just, and just kind of just picture this real quick. You're pretty much in this, pretty much on the road before the two pass. And it's a very, very long road before the paths. And I'm just limboing around. I had no clue what to do. I couldn't decide what I wanted to do. There was just one day where I had a lot on my plate, and I just decided not to do any of it. And the reason why is because I was like, my brain can't make another decision. I can't do it. And my brain went just say, what do you want to do? And my brain became like toothpaste, because it's like, well, what do you want to do? And it just kind of talked back and forth. And I was just a mill person. And it's like, stop doing this. And it's like, this is ridiculous. It took me weeks. And even though I seem fine on the outside, everything up here, which is, screw everything, I don't want to do it anymore. It's like, what am I doing? It's like, and just like a whole long list of, this is not working. And the list goes on and on. And what kind of helped me was that there was a colleague of mine did this free webinar. And it wasn't a free webinar, meaning where he was trying to sell you on something. It was an actually helpful free webinar. And even though I had to miss karate, I was like, I need to get myself out of this funk. And it's like, it's driving me nuts. It's probably driving a lot of my parents nuts, because when they were talking to me, I basically listened with only half an ear. I was like, huh, what? And I admit, I probably was a total kind of a tool for doing that. And it's not that I wanted to do that, but my brain was just all over the place. And it's like, do I listen to my brain, the people that are talking to me? And I think what else has helped me was people at karate reached out to me. I got to see some of my close friends. And so I was like, okay, they still exist and they still want to stay friends with me. But just some reason in my brain, my mind's like, nobody wants to hang out with me anymore. And I listen to my brain. It's like, your brain, you're smart, but you're a pain in the ass sometimes.
Yeah. Our brain is reflexive, man. You know, it's like, you know, we think our thoughts are reality. They're not. You know, it's just a reactive system that's going on. And most of them are just repetitive over and over again, you know, from there. So, but, you know, decision fatigue is a real thing, you know, and it's like, it can get very easy to fall down those spots of what do I do on this stuff. And then, so, you know, one thing I try and harp on a lot with my clients and the people I work with is the difference between setting standards and setting expectations. You know, I think we are very good at setting expectations. We start a new venture, we start a new journey, you know, a new fitness program, and we're like, oh, I'm going to do this. And by this day, I'm going to look like this, or this day, I'm going to feel like this, or I'm going to get to this mark and do all these stuff. It's like, if this, then this. It's this type of stuff. But expectations are outside of our control. If you flip that over and be like, okay, what are the standards that I'm going to hold myself to? What are the non-negotiables that I work with? And I just look at that. Okay, like, what's the non-negotiable? If everything goes to crap today, or everything goes to crap this week, what am I still going to do? What am I still going to hold myself to? And those are the standards that you have. And again, connecting it with that overarching message of who do you want to be, and going through that exercise as well, is really powerful. But doing that and saying, okay, these are the non-negotiables, I'm not negotiating this. Like, it takes that decision fatigue out of it, of like, regardless of what goes on, I'm still getting these done. And it might just be one thing. It might be a couple things, you know? You got to be honest with yourself and know exactly where you are in the moment of what you can do. But this is why I found this is so powerful, Jimmy. This is freaking so crazy. Is, I think one of the main reasons why we struggle so much is because we don't believe in our own word. We don't believe in that when we say we're going to do something, we're actually going to do it. Because most adults, we've been through times where we said we're going to do something and then we fell short, or we stopped, or we quit. And it builds this just message in our head that we don't trust ourselves. It's a lack of self-belief in a way. By setting up standards and those non-negotiables and starting it at the minuscule, minute thing, okay, just aim 1% up. And if you do that effectively and you hold yourself to that, then each week you go back, you review your game tape, and you realize that you did what you said you're going to do. You're trusting your own word. You're building a habit in your own mind that when you say you're going to do something, you do it. And I think that is where self-confidence comes from. You know, I remember Joel Cochran came on my show and he said that, he's like, as coaches, he's like, our main goal and our main objective with working with anybody, it's not to get people in shape. It's not people to, you know, get these before and after pictures. It's to instill self-confidence. Because when somebody is confident in their ability and believes that they can do what they set out to do, they can move mountains. People are incredible. Like, we are absolutely an incredible species of, look at all the stuff that we have around here. Everything has been made by somebody. Like, we have some crazy, crazy stuff that we've evolved into. It's all been made by somebody. And a lot of it is from somebody who believed that this was possible. And I think if you do that for yourself and you start where you are, and it could be, if you're so sedentary and you haven't done anything, just getting up and walking for 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day, right? And you're like, this is my non-negotiable. I'm not going to do anything else, right? If I do more stuff, great. Like, it's cherry on top of the sundae. But I'm going to hold myself to this. And you keep doing that over and over again, then regardless of what happens, the success that you get or the degree of where you want to be, that's all, that's going to happen, you know, regardless. The time of it, who knows? But the habit that you've just built up over that time is that you've become a person that does what they say they're going to do.
So my last few questions before I let you go, who's your favorite podcaster and why? And feel free not to say me.
So probably Modern Wisdom, Chris Williamson, is probably my favorite that I listen to the most. I really love his interviewing style, the amount of work and the research that he puts into people. Him, Lex Fridman, I really love the way that he, the questions that he asks, kind of the open-endedness of questions that he goes into. Those are two of my favorites that I do. I love Theo Vaughn just because I think he has an ability to just like humanize everybody that he talks to in a way that I think is so powerful. Some other ones that are really powerful is Luca Husover, who's a phenomenal coach out of Seattle, I believe, has the Vigor Life podcast. And he's an unbelievable coach. If you really want to dive into like the strength and conditioning world of stuff, he has some amazing guests on. He's an absolutely great guy to connect with. Those are the ones that I, you know, I jive with the most.
And where can, and my last question for you is, where can people follow you, find you, and learn more about who you are and what you do?
Sure. So I have my podcast, which is called The Strength Connection. You can go and check that out. It's on all podcast platforms. I think we have 255 episodes out right now, mostly talking about stories of strength, physically, mentally, spiritually. You can find me on my Facebook group is where I connect with a lot, which is called The Strength Connection. And then if you go to my website, which is the easiest, which is called mystrengthconnection.com. Right at the top, there is a free video there, which is a 5-minute mindset, where if you want to really focus on changing your mindset in just a couple of practices that take a couple minutes a day, go in and check that out. That is the most exciting thing that I've put out recently on there. It's really helping a lot of people. I have all my clients that are working with it and other people who have just found me getting into that and have, you know, said that it's really helped them.
Awesome. I'll put all those links in the show notes. And thank you for being a guest on the show. And I would love to have you back on in the future.
Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate it. Anytime, man.
So that's all the time we have for today. If you like the show, leave a review. Let me know how we're doing. In the meantime, stay healthy, stay safe, and stay motivated. And I'll be back for another brand new episode of Gracie Fitness Guy Healthy Learning Podcast, slash Weekly Motivation with Gracie Fitness Guy. In the meantime, peace.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Crazy Fitness Guy Show. If you enjoyed this episode, this leave us a review so more people can find us. In the meantime, use the links in the show notes to subscribe to our monthly newsletter, shop for swag, read blog posts, watch videos, and listen to the latest episodes. In the meantime, visit crazyfitnessguy.com to see what we are up to in between episodes. In the meantime, stay healthy, stay safe, and stay motivated.
Hydro Flask is the best water bottle, in my opinion, because it keeps my water nice, cold, and refreshing throughout the day. And yes, I do drink a lot of water throughout the day, so even though it stays colder for longer, I still like having a reusable water bottle like Hydro Flask, because it just sits on my desk and it reminds me, hey, you gotta drink water. And Hydro Flask, it keeps it cold longer, which makes me want to drink more water throughout the day, because, you know, there's nothing worse than drinking warm water. Go to hydroflask.com and use the link in the show notes. And yes, I do get a small commission from Hydro Flask, so, which also helps support the show. So tell them I sent you, use the link below. And yeah, check out hydroflask.com for more information.